a believer in psychedelic medicine. And he could see how much I was suffering with PTSD from having been in DV relationships and violent relationships. I had a lot of really bad PTSD. And it was pretty paralyzing at times. And so by his suggestion, you know, we started using some psychedelic medicine in the forms of LSD, some like MDMA, but mostly LSD to kind of confront and I don't want to say confront because it's so much more of like a sidling, like an embracing of things. But that psychedelic medicine opened up avenues again to connecting with the universe on a whole. And all the while, like I'm still doing like 12-step recovery. I've started going to therapy. I've gone into this Christian church again. And that was what was following. That followed a period of intense psychedelic use that I ended up resetting my clean time for in 12-step recovery, actually. And because it was just, you know, if I'm being dishonest about it, if I'm lying about it, if I'm hiding it, that's some, you know, there's a problem there. Like if you are hiding anything, if you're hiding or lying about something, you know you're doing something wrong.
Or you're afraid of being judged.
Oh, absolutely. Right? No, you're doing wrong in the eyes of someone. And you know that those things are going to get you pushed out of community. And as humans, like we're just as much as when a dog is injured, they don't show that pain because they're pack animals. We do the same thing. Like as humans, we are pack animals and like we want to be part of community. We need to have like some community, some acceptance, some belonging to feel safe to be able to accomplish or do anything in the world. And like, yeah, you don't want to say those things, even if they are helping you. And it's something that I've kind of started looking at now that there's options available for to be able to be a Christian and still use psychedelic medicine. Like there are churches that specifically like do that. We don't have them here in Chico that are huge. There are people that are believers for sure. But I mean, in San Francisco, you know, they have psychedelic churches. And there's so much stuff coming out now that early Christians actually did use psychedelics as well. And I mean, like, if you're actually reading the Bible, those are some trippy things, you know? That's some trippy stuff. For
sure. Amber and I have done, a show or two about this subject.
Yeah, it's definitely a thing. And I'm grateful for the time that I did end up going to this church here in Chico because it was an opportunity to feel that closeness. And it was a group of people that I felt the way that I felt when I was a child. I felt that like closeness and I felt like it was the person that I remembered, like, or the feeling that I remembered from when I was a kid. And they weren't talking about God hating people or trying to push people out. If anything, you know, like they pulled people in and they wanted people to be a part of. And I mean, to find true diversity in Chico is a little hard. There is diversity that exists here in this town, but it is a primarily white Christian community. There's fringe, but it's fringe, right? So, but even in that, like they were actually about what they were preaching. They weren't just preaching this stuff, but they were doing the work all the time. They would go into the community and not only feed people, but they would go into the community and one of the coolest things I think I saw them do is they went in and helped clean homeless encampments with the purpose of everybody should feel good about where they're living. They wanted...
Oh, when you say clean, not like clean out, wipe off the face of the earth clean like they do now, but like...
Yeah. No,
it's... Tidy up?
Yeah. They were helping people clean their homes, right? And that's... like things that we don't think about for homeless people is like, where do you dispose of your garbage?
I just was driving here today and saw a new encampment. New to me. I don't get how much. And it was covered in trash. And for a minute, I was like... Man, what's wrong with them? They should throw that away. And then I was like, well, where are they going to throw it? And I think that's really great that that service, that they were providing that service, because I can imagine how it's already hard enough being homeless and then living in trash. It's unhealthy mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually. So that's a super awesome. Are you still with that church?
No, I actually, a few years ago, I had a friend complete suicide. And at that time, like, it's a hard thing, you know, and I needed support and I wanted answers, you know, I wanted answers. And I also had started working with the county with through behavioral health. And so I was seeing a lot of county behavioral health. You're going to see the bottom of what behavioral health and what mental health looks like. There are people who are either having it imposed on them. They're not people who are choosing usually to go into therapy. There are people that do end up making that choice. But by the time the police are calling for a response team to have someone come out and deal with your mental illness, it's like the bottom, you know, the people who are some of the sickest people. And after my friend completed suicide, and I knew that he was an alcoholic drug addict who struggled with bipolar, I was really struggling with how could a loving God do this? How could a loving God have something like schizophrenia or bipolar, something that even at their very best, and I've had talks with friends about this before, that with bipolar, it's strange to me, like you could be going years and a medication works perfectly. Everything, and then for whatever reason, it stops. And then you have to start the hellish dance of figuring out a new medication to work with. And it is hell. It's horrible playing with your chemicals in your brain. The enemy is inside of you. And so, like, you know, we can tell a story about it and say, like, oh, you have evil spirits inside of you now. But we have science now that can say that, like, these are chemically the things that are happening. And how could a God create us like that, right? And so I was struggling with these questions, and I went to my pastors at the church that I was at. Strangely, my pastor that I had gone to, his suggestion was that I talk to my sponsor in 12-step program. I went to my sponsor in 12-step program, and her response was to, no, this is something that you need to talk to the church about. And I just got shopped around until I went to a people I still dearly love, but they gave me really bad advice and telling me that, you know, this is because of a person's personal choice. And that's absolutely true, right? Like, my friend had made choices. But to say that, like, no, this is his fault at that point in time was not, I was messed up, you know? I'm grateful. Like, everything happens for a reason. And I'm grateful that I did have Jesse as a friend at that point in time. Because he was able to very gently give me some suggestions for answers. Without judgment. Without any judgment for my anger for God. I was angry. Like, how dare God do this? And he was able to do it from a point of understanding. And that my community, they could not give me that. At that time, AA was also doing the same thing. There was a lot of people within the community that my friend and I were involved in, like, that they want to push that feeling away, I guess. And so it was a lot of, like, you know, my friend's name was Matt. Like, you know, Matt was selfish. He was so selfish for doing what he did. And I was so fucking mad. Like, how could you guys be saying this? You have no idea what it's like to suffer with mental illness. You have no idea what it feels like to suffer, to want to be better for God and for your family. And your answer is to push it away and pretend like it never happened. Why should we not be mad at God? And I'm grateful that Jesse was able to give me a safe space for that anger, to hear that anger, to let me go through that point of, you know what, f*** God. Be like, yeah, from what you're going through, absolutely f*** God. You know, that makes sense. It makes sense that you feel like that. And it's just crazy to me that that's a revolutionary thing that I experienced. Because if, as humans, and if that's what the Bible's filled with, is stories about people being like, you know what, f*** God. And then figuring out how to get back to some working relationship with God from that. So that's kind of where I'm at now. I've not gone back to that church. Unfortunately, in that time that I left that church, some things that happen, as things do with humans, and the church has kind of fallen apart. The church still exists, but the group that the church was that I had has disbanded largely. And I'm at a...
Do we get to blame COVID for that?
No.
Oh, dang it.
No, it was actually really cool. I came to that church like right after like COVID, or coming out of the COVID. So it was really cool to see what that church was doing. Like, they held services out in the parking lot, and had so people could turn into the radio station on their cars. And they had just like the pastor would stand out so everybody could see them. But we were all in our own little bubbles in our car.
Like a drive-in theater.
It was like a drive-in theater. Absolutely, like a drive-in theater. So they were making ways to have community. And then that's also when a lot of like the streaming of churches like that came to be a thing too. So no, I actually think that's some people really found the ability to be connected with God in a space that was comfortable for them. Because going door-to-door proselytizing isn't really like... It's very much frowned upon now. Like, nobody likes that. Like, when people put out the no solicitor sign, we know it means like no proselytizing. That's who we're talking about.
Yeah.
Girl Scout cookies are welcome, though.
Exactly. Exactly. We need to make that sign.
Yeah.
Except for Girl Scouts.
So now you're in a limbo place? Where are you? What's going on?
I think it's like a new place of normal for me. I don't think that in who I am is ever going to be divorced of a relationship with spirit or God. I feel really more comfortable with talking about Jesus is still my homeboy, you know, like he's still a great person. You know what I mean? There's a lot of really great teachings, but there's also like a lot of really great teachings from a lot of different teachers of like different faiths. So I am open to that. I don't think that I'm a good Christian. I would be considered a quote unquote good Christian, but because I do things like I like pulling tarot cards. You know, I have an altar at home, but on that altar, there's all different types of things that I hold true to me. And in being able to light candles and light incense, which is something that early Christians especially did. We do as Christians, but for whatever reason, their magic words are okay with God and our magic words are not. So whatever.
Yeah, I told Jesse recently, y'all are basically doing witchcraft. There's blood and all this stuff, and I don't know why you're mad at everybody else.
Yeah.
Not Jesse. Jesse's cool.
Yeah. No, it's totally not a sin to be recreating your holy person, pretending that bread is his body,
right,
practicing pseudo-cannibalism. And washing yourself in his blood.
Right.
There's nothing weird about that.
No.
Nothing.
Well, that's what Amber was saying. She says, Jesse, this is blood magic. That is bad juju. Bad juju.
Yes. Exactly. No. That's not sinning.
That's fine.
That's fine. So it's I guess what it is being able to find what's true for me. And hoping that there's, if universe sees fit at some point for me to find a community of like-minded people to also practice that with, or a sangha or whatever that looks like. If it's a church, and it's a church, and all a church is just a group of people that have gathered together to be able to share their faith and grow in their faith with one another. Like I say, it's like a sangha, a practice of, you know, Buddhism and being able to meditate and be in community with one another. If universe at some point sees fit to point me in that direction, I'm open to that. But I have yet to find that. Mm-hmm. So But I still feel like it's a new thing. As I was telling you guys when I got here, like, I'm nervous about saying this out loud, you know, because I don't know. And I like that. I like that I don't know completely.
That's because you're badass. It is hard, though, like you're saying, to be in that space of deconstruction when the community is such an important part of our human experience and our spiritual experiences, to be without a community. I can resonate and feel with you on the desire for that. And I would bet big money that you're not alone.
I think that is like human.
I know now why Amber and I both like you, and we it's wonderful to have you as a mutual friend, because we resonate with you. Just speaking to you sounds like conversations that Amber and I have together.
Yeah, you're like the bridge between us both. Perfectly. You're like, yeah, I get you, Amber. Yeah, I get you, Jesse. It's perfect. It's great.
But see, isn't like, what if the whole world is my church?
Yeah. Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, am I open to that? Like, yeah, I vibes, and I know that sounds like stupid and like less than what it is, but right, because there's all this like bumper sticker stuff about vibes, and it's just become like a ticket to buy things. But no, like, I mean, you resonate with certain people, and I'm grateful to be able to be open to that experience.
Girl, I'm buying what you're selling. I'm vibing.
When I retire, you and I are going to make a church. We're going to put, well, actually, the three of us.
Why are we waiting?
That's true. Yeah. Why are we waiting?
There's a lot of people out there that they do need. Well, I don't know what they need, but I feel like there's a lot of people that are hungry for that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, Angelica, thank you so much for being a part of our table today. We call this the Radical Hospitality Table, and it was wonderful for you to be here.
Very powerful. Thank you, Jelly.
Oh, thank you for asking me.
If you're just tuning in, this is Faith in Common Ground here on KZFR, listener-supported community radio.
I know I say this a lot after interviews, but wow, Amber.
Wow is right. Like, the power in the room was palpable.
Yes, indeed. And you and I have both known Jelly for a while, and we really respect her as a person. She is so smart.
So smart. And relatable.
Yeah, and I don't think she... This is just me. She's a lot smarter than she thinks she is, you know. Yeah. But then again, you and I both are a lot more than what we think we are in some respects too.
Well, and part of her beauty is her humbleness.
Oh yeah.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah.
So let's talk about this interview and where we can go with this.
Yeah, I'm really I was surprised that she brought up psychedelics. I mean, yeah. I shouldn't be, because we worked together for a while.
Yeah, I was going to say, but you both worked at Phoenix Nest together,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. But for some reason, to me, I didn't expect that to be part of her spiritual journey, because, like, we talked about the fear of judgment,
right,
or ostracization. Did I say that right?
Ostracization.
Did I make up a word?
I don't know. No, it's a word.
Okay, okay. Yeah. I read the words, but I don't say the words enough.
That problem too.
Yeah. And that, but then, it makes sense that she's at this place where she's decided that her authenticity is more important than fitting into a group.
Yeah. And I like this. Actually, I think this is a good transition for us to come off this deconstruction series that we've been on.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's been good, it's been fun, but I think this interview was a great off-ramp from that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't see her experience as a deconstruction so much.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not even quite sure how to classify it. It's similar to it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that when you hear the other stories of deconstruction, there are similarities in the stories and testimonies, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
But there's just something more there with her.
Well, from my perspective, she's actually reached another level of spiritual growth, that the process of deconstruction is past what she's at, where she's at.
Yeah.
You're still trying to fit within a framework. You're trying to justify the reasons that you're not in the framework. And she says, from what I perceived, what I hear you saying,
what Shelley, I hear you saying,
is that she's recognized that it's a personal relationship and that she doesn't need these external qualifiers
right.
to put herself within.
Yeah.
And she's just coming from, she knows what the vibe is.
Right.
Vibes are good or bad, right?
And in my entire having known her, because I was in a couple of those transitory places where she was talking about, but that's the one thing that has remained consistent about her through the whole time that I've known her is she understands the vibe. I would say, mm-hmm. I would call it a spiritual gift.
Yeah, you know? And it's a strength of character and a strength of commitment to your creator
right.
to not have the external world dictate what your relationship with creator looks like.
Right.
Yeah, so she's super, super badass.
She is. She is. So let's talk about this church.
Yeah, let's do it. I'm down.
Okay, so maybe that's where we go on our next little journey here in our show.
The,
I don't know.
The building of the church?
Yeah.
Tell
or
us.
How does one build community and how does one build a faith community? Maybe we should just kind of put that together. What does it take?
Well, and I think that the issue that Jelly and I have also had is how do you build a faith community that isn't telling you how to do your faith?
Right.
Because that's the problem. It's both the problem and the solution with community because you need the container.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I don't want you to tell me how I have to receive within that container.
Right.
So that's the sticky part of the whole process is like, right. because we know how people build churches and build community and they are like, these are the rules and this right. is our shared belief system. Yeah. And
there's a system by which you do that. There's a formula by right. which you do that.
Yep.
Whatever the mother church, whatever the denominational head, there is a formula and a process that you go through.
And with the more structured ones, there's also all the support systems related to that. But when you're having an more of an unstructured vibe-based mm-hmm. church, I kind of want to call it vibe church.
Yeah, yeah. Well, one of the things that I did, I minored in cross-cultural communication in college. And part of what we did was we studied missionary efforts and how people communicated, how people from one culture communicated to another as it relates to sharing of faith. And of course, there's horrible stories out there of missionaries who are more wanting to impose their culture and cultural norms on, quote, the savage people.
Right, right.
Than they were to share anything.
Ethnocentric perceptions.
Absolutely.
And, yeah.
Yep. But the ones that worked and the ones that stuck and the ones that continued are the ones where people got to know each other and got to understand what do they have in common. Mm-hmm. Whereas the bad missionary efforts, they'd come in and say, this religion that you have right now, what you do right now is wrong,
they
and we're here to
judgment.
Show you the right way.
Yeah.
Right. The good ones were, what do we have in common?
Mm-hmm.
And how can we work together? And how can we vibe, you know,
yeah,
if you really want to, if you want to put it that way. And so some of the best churches that are still active and are not doing horrible things in the world are the ones, the communities that still reflect the values of the earliest church where people just coming together and sharing that common ground, right?
Faith and common ground.
Faith and common ground, baby.
Yes.
Yeah.
I like it. Let's make it happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, listeners. We appreciate you being with us every show and listening to our crazy rants sometimes. But we like that you are at the table. We appreciate you being at the table with us.
Thanks for sharing Common Ground.
Faith in Common Ground is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by the Chico Chamber of Commerce. Leveraging the voice of business for community good. For more information about Chico Chamber opportunities or how you can help move Chico forward, visit chicochamber.com or at 530 891-5556.
This is Hope Rihanna for Zephyr News. Zephyr News provides local news coverage on city and county government, public meetings, and community issues in Chico and the surrounding areas. Listen for reports on Chico City Council, the Board of Supervisors, public safety, and other local topics. Zephyr News airs on Thursdays at 7 p.m. on KZFR 90.1 FM and on KZFR.org, and is also available as a podcast on digital streaming platforms. Thank you for your support, and stay tuned to the mighty Zephyr.
KZFR is excited to bring you the 22nd annual Touch of Chico Wellness Fair. Bring all your friends for an afternoon of music and healing under the beautiful trees at the Chico Creek Nature Center on Sunday, September 13th, noon to 4.
This wellness fair is free to attend, and there will be many local healers offering a wide variety of bodywork and healing modalities for $1 a minute. There will be free Skillshare presentations all afternoon, plus there will be live music, artisan vendors, and delicious food at this community fundraiser. The popular food vendor Om Foods plans to serve up their pesca vegan dishes.
The Touch of Chico's main music stage this year features performances by local musicians to soothe your senses, including Bruce McMillan, KZFR's own Tim G and Scott T, and Samarian Baines, plus a fun demonstration by the Vita Nova Entertainment Gals. A full day of massage for both your body and your ears.
Special thank you to our sponsors, Embark and Chico Community Acupuncture. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram for more info on the music lineup, Skillshare schedule, and participating practitioners. Or visit kzfr.org. We hope to see you there.
You've got all the money. That's why you won't come tell me you are better than.